can have a seat if you'd like. We're going to open the Word together. Reading out of John chapter 14, our passage today is verses 22 to 31. You can follow along on the screen. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, 'I am going away, and I am coming back to you.' If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me." This is the reading of the Lord.
All right. We're going to do something different at this service. You can stay, please. It's my wife, so I don't talk to everybody like that. But I should talk to her much more tenderly. Yeah. Okay. So if you want the full teaching for this morning, I guess you could get it on the podcast or the video. And I think there will be some teaching, but I don't want to start there. And so I've asked these three to, after the service, I said, "Can you stay up there and we're going to see what we can do here?" So would you pray first? And then we're going to focus on that verse 27 and just reading that. And I'll talk it through after you pray, but that would be great.
Father, we come to you this morning asking, inviting you to come to us. We want to receive you. We want to receive your word that gives us life. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, would you come and remind us of everything that we know that Jesus has already told us? And would you bring peace, the peace of your presence? Where we are anxious today, Lord, we pray that you would plant your word as a seed in that place in our heart, that it would grow and bear the fruit of your Spirit. Peace within us. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
So there's something that is called peace, that is a real, tangible thing that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, has, and that he says he can give to us, that we can have it and more of it. And so that's what we want to spend a little time now, just inviting that real thing. There's something real that's peace. There's a reality. And we can have more of it in our lives. And so we're just trying to make space for God to do what he wants to do, and he wants to give peace, we think. So, yeah.
Can Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid.
Where is it that you're needing peace in your life? Where is it that God might want to be sending peace into your life? We ask for that. We ask for that thing that you, Jesus, said you wanted to give us. We ask for peace.
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
We acknowledge that we often try to get what the world gives us to get us peace, to make us feel better. Just acknowledge that. And sometimes it does make us feel better for a while, but we know we need the peace that lasts, the peace that is deeper, and that's the kind of peace we're asking for this morning. Would you give us your peace?
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
God, would you send peace even into our bodies this morning? Even to us physiologically. There's parts of our anxiety that we just carry and we don't have access to by thinking about it, or we feel it, or it's just there. Just pray that your peace would even go to those places. You alone can speak peace over those parts of us, and we ask for it this morning. Would you bring your peace?
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
God is in this room. The one who made a way for peace, the one who carries peace in his being, it's just part of who he is. The one who says he wants to give us peace, he's here now. God, we just welcome more of your peace to come into us, to wash over us. So much that makes us not peaceful. Ask for your peace to come into us. And I'm gonna have Matt sing a song. It's not a song that necessarily we're gonna sing along with. It's more of a song that's gonna be sung over us. I mean, you could sing along if you want, but it's just another way to say, God, we're just looking for your peace, and we're looking for the peace that you give, not the way the world gives, the peace that only you give, that we can only get from you.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. No water for taste of glory divine, air of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Just going to stay here just a little bit longer. Just want all the peace that you want to give us, Jesus. We need your peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. One of the realities of prayer is this tangible thing that Jesus gives to us. We can send it towards people. We can carry it, and people can receive it and experience it when they're in our presence, but also we can pray that it be sent to people. So would you pray for someone who you think needs this tangible touch from Jesus, this kind of peace? Would you just pray that it would go to them today, this week, and the ways they're needing it? God, as we transition to reflecting more on your word now, we pray that your peace would remain in us, that we would remain in you. that we would hear the things that you want us to hear, and that your presence would make itself known to us even more. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't really want to do a show of hands or anything like that, but I'll just describe my experience here. I sensed more peace in the room. And I guess there's a chance that that was sort of like, well, you know, when you put music and you read a certain way, and this is just sort of like humanly contrived. I guess that's possible, and maybe that adds to it. What's also possible is that God is real, and that Jesus is who he says he is. And he does the things that he says he's going to do. And that when we give him a little bit of space, a little bit of our attention, he makes himself known. And he does that kind of quietly. And that, I think that gets into the question today that we've been doing a series the last few weeks as we lead up to Easter. And it's this series that's based on Jesus talking to his closest people, his disciples, the people that are his team, that want to be with him, that want to be like him. And he's going to die the next day, and he knows it. And so these are like important things to say, and they're asking him questions, and we're just looking at the questions that they ask and then his response to them. And so the question today comes from the first verse that Camille read when she read the scripture at the beginning. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, he's also named Thaddeus in when they list disciples in other places, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Because these people that are around him, they've seen him, they know him, they believe in him. And they're like, why? But he's just said, like, the world's not always going to see it. And I'm not always going to show it to them. And he's like, why not? And there's lots of, I mean, one of the things about Jesus is he just does not answer these questions directly. I loved the first week when Matt was teaching. He talked about what it would feel like. And it kind of feels like if you're saying, like, Lord, where is the bathroom? And Jesus would respond like, why? Are you going to take a bath? There's not even a bath in that room. So maybe you're thinking, maybe you want to think the restroom. Well, maybe, you could get some relief if you go there. And you're like, I just got to go. Like, why are you not giving the they're looking for practical answers. And it's not quite that silly. But Jesus, like, takes the conversation a different way. And he does that over and over again. And I'm not going to get into all of that this time because we did things a little differently about the way different ways he took this question. But I'm going to get to the point that he actually answers the question. But he says all these other things first, but he actually gives an answer to the question, but it'd be easy to miss. But before I do that, I just want to say, like, this is my question. Like, this isn't a question back then. This is like, I mean, I know God. I know Jesus. And there's lots of things I don't know and don't understand and but I know him, and because I know him, and because I know he loves me, and because it's not because of anything I did, I just want other people to know it. And so then when I'm praying for people, and then I just, like, they don't see, like, they aren't seeing, like, couldn't you just show them? Couldn't you be more obvious about who you are? Couldn't you, like, come right through for them in a big way? And when I don't see that, then this is my question. Like, why not? Why not show yourself a little more obvious? Now, part of the answer to this is that he does do things in a big way, and I just move on to whatever's next. Like, I forget these. For whatever reason, this is a story that keeps rolling through my mind this week, and I didn't tell that at the first service, but let me just share it here. So, I don't know what it was, 15 years ago, before I lived in Knoxville, I had a good friend, and he had hot liquid of some sort of substance that he was working, and it splattered up onto his face, and he had burns, like severe burns. And I heard about it, and heard it was really bad, really serious. And it was winter time. I went and shoveled his driveway for him. Like, I'm just like, you know, when you feel bad, like, what can you do? And, oh, I could do that. I can shovel his driveway. And I just decided to go, and I knocked on the door, and he came to the door, and I mean, his face was just blistered. Like, it was bad. And the first thing he said to me is, "Pretty funny, huh?" And I was like, "No, it's not funny." I just started crying. Man, I didn't think I'd get emotion telling the story. And, you know, I just immediately, I just started praying. Like, "Lord, heal this face, Jesus. Make it better. Make it better." And he started peeling things off his face that night. And in the end, he had one little mark. And the doctor said, there's no explanation for that. He was supposed to be, like, he would have need plastic surgery for sure. There's no way that would happen. And the reason that I'm thinking that story right now is because that happened. And then several years later, we were working together, and I was leaving there, and so people were kind of sharing memories of me, and he got up and he told that story, and I had forgotten. I mean, like, that's not something that happens all the time, and God had done that. And I bet you I spent way more time thinking about what prayers God didn't answer ever since then than being like, man, to be part of that is pretty cool. Like, that's something only God could do. Like, that's kind of my biggest prayer in life. Well, my biggest prayer in life is that I would become like Jesus, even if it takes me my whole life, that I'd be more like him. But my second biggest prayer is, like, I want to be part of things that only you could do. Like, not things that I could pull off on my own, or not things that we could pull off on our own, just like things that only you could do, and that's one of them. But I just move on to, like, well, he's not doing this, and he doesn't do this, and what about this? So he is doing a lot, but even so, I still have the question of, like, well, he could do that. Why wouldn't he do it here or here? Why wouldn't he do it more? And I don't have answers for that. But what I do recognize is that his answer here is not what I was looking for. So he says in verse 22, is that somebody missing? Oh, I thought, we're good. I have 5 kids. My life is never quiet. You're doing fine, though, this morning, gang. Yep. Nice job. All right. Verse 22 again, Adam, since I'm jumping over. The question is, why do you intend to show yourself to us? Like, I know you, and not to the world, but other people. I want other people to know you, and they're not knowing you. Why not? Toward the very end of what Camille read, this is it. Jesus says, "I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming." That's like the devil, the evil one is coming. "He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me." He comes so that the world may learn that I do what the Father has told me to do. So what he's saying is, evil is coming, and you know what evil wants to do? It wants to crush Jesus, make Jesus suffer, kill him. Evil is coming, and that's what he's going to do. And he says, but it has no power over me. If Jesus wants to, he can say, nope, not happening. But he says, but so that the world will know that I will do whatever God says, even though he is God, he's talking about the humanity side of him. I will do whatever the Father says, no matter what it costs, no matter how hard it is, no matter that I'm not getting anything out of it, I will do what he says because I trust him. I will do what he says because that's what releases love to the world. And he says, I am going to show myself to the world, but what I want them to see is not like I could do this or that or the other thing. I want them to see I'm willing to go here. That's how much I love. I'm willing to come with you. I'm willing to be with you. I'm willing to suffer with you. I'm willing to come into your trouble and into your anxiety and into all that and bring you peace. And whatever it takes, I'm willing to do that. And that's what I want the world to see. Because if I just give you all the goodies all the time, it doesn't change our hearts. In fact, it might change our hearts for the worse. But if we know we're loved and someone's with us and they do whatever it takes, well, that shifts things. And it's interesting that Jesus was tempted in this way over and over again. So if you think about the temptations, the devil shows up to tempt Jesus, and one of the things, he's in a wilderness, hadn't eaten for 40 days, and the devil's coming to bring his best stuff for him, and one of his temptations is, you should go up to the top of the tower where the temple is, go way up high and jump off because the angels will catch you, and you know it. It's in God's word. You know, if you're really the Son of God, then you should do that. And he's saying that because Jesus had just heard at his baptism, this is my son, you are my son, whom I love. And the devil comes, and over again, what he's trying to get this person to do is to question that that's real. God doesn't really love you. You don't really belong to him. You don't really fit into his family. You don't, no, he does the same thing to all of us. He's saying, if you're really who God says you are, then there's no way he's going to let you die. Now, why is that a temptation? Like, it's really, that's the best you could do? Because I feel like I could handle that one. Go up to the temple and no thanks. Maybe it's because Jesus is like a thrill seeker. Like, oh, this is a temptation. I mean, he walked on water. I mean, he liked to take risks. Maybe, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, boy, devil, I really want to do that. I just want to, you know, like that. No, that's not what's going on. What's going on is he's saying, if you do that, no one could deny that you're God. Everyone would have to acknowledge it. It's like the shortcut way. And Jesus says, no, that's not the plan. That's not how I'm going to show myself to the world. And it just keeps happening. Peter, first person to say, like, no, you're the Son of God. You really are. And Jesus is like, that is right. It's been revealed to you. And then Jesus says, and I am going to suffer and I am going to die to release forgiveness and love to the world. And he's like, no, bad idea. It's not, the other people can hear you saying this. And he's saying, it's never going to happen. And Jesus says to him, get behind me, Satan. Like, you're trying to make the shortcut to do it the world's way, but I don't give as the world gives. And I don't forgive as the world forgives. I give like God gives. I forgive like God gives. I forgive like God gives. That's what I do. And Judas Iscariot, now this is speculation. It might be true, it might not. But what motivated him to betray Jesus? Well, for sure, partly money. Partly money. He was greedy. But I don't know how much more greedy he was than any of us. I mean, when we look at what we spend money on ourselves compared to... So, that was a vulnerability, his greed. But there is, I think, some possibility, a case could be made, that's what I was trying to say, a case could be made that the reason that Judas betrayed him, one of the reasons was because he was impatient. And he thought, if I hand him over to these people, I know he's the Messiah, and then he will just finally do what a Messiah is supposed to do. Pull out the sword, wipe out the enemies, move into the things that we want him to do, win. We want him to win. This will do it. And I can pocket some money on the side, so I'm going to do that. I'm going to force his hand so that he has to choose. And then when Jesus, instead of doing what he thought the Messiah should do, the way he should show himself to the world, instead of doing that, he didn't. And he just allowed himself to be arrested and beaten and made fun of and convicted. Judas was like, no, and he gave all the money back. Now, that might not, but it might be because that was a common theme is like, we've got the way that you should show yourself to the world. And Jesus says, I'm going to show myself to the world the way God tells me, the way the Father does, with love, with sacrifice, with forgiveness. So different than us. So different than me. You know, I think there's ways to, I think it's good. Like, God does answer prayers, and God does do things like that, and there's ways that we experience his goodness, for sure, and I love that. But I think if we really want the world to see what God is like, then we match him. I mean, one of the things Jesus said, and we looked at it a few weeks ago, is, you know, the way you love one another, that's how they'll know that you're my disciples, and that's how you'll know what God is like. So, I think a number one way that we can show the world what God is like is by being forgiving people. By being forgiving people. Instead of saying like, hey, here's a harbor where that boat of bitterness, why don't you just park that thing right here into this part of my life and it's just going to stay here. And whenever someone brings up that person, I'm going to talk about it. Whenever, you know, I'm going to complain about it. And it just keeps feeding it, and I'm feeling it. Now, please, I'm not talking about abuse. If there's abuse, then you need to step out of abuse. I'm not talking about having to treat, enabling bad behavior. No, you can intend someone's good, but you don't have to relate to them the same way. But most of the time, a lot of the time, for a lot of us, what's happening is like the littlest of things just keep growing. And instead of joining God and saying like, this hurts, and this is frustrating, and I don't like this, but I am not going to hang on to it. You're going to have to help me. I'm going to have to do it with you, but I'm going to just still intend their good and still release them and still show kindness. I'm still going to do that. And if a group of people did that, and they don't do it just in like the, I'm going to grit my teeth and do it. But in the like, that's me too. So glad that you love me. So glad that you died for me. I'm going to need your help, but let's just let this forgiveness flow. I mean, I wonder, this is just popping into my head right now, I wonder how much of our lack of peace is our lack of forgiveness. Amen. And Jesus said something along the lines, I'm not doing this right off the top, I mean, he said something along the lines when he taught the Lord's Prayer, like if you don't forgive other people, then you won't be forgiven. Now that doesn't mean that we don't get forgiven, but we don't experience the freedom of forgiveness. And I wonder if a lot of times a way to deflect the shame I feel about myself is to get mad about it in somebody else. And then there's Jesus, who isn't that way. And he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give like the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I really want that reality in my life. I really want that reality in my life. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. What reality do you want in your life? He's here. I mean, I think I saw some head nods. Like some of you, like we sense, as we were just entering into like inviting his peace, he's here. Well, he didn't leave. He's still here. He's a smiler, I think. I think he's a smiler. He's here. Let's pray. We pray for the kind of supernatural healing, like somebody's face getting healed and doctors not being able to explain it in an overnight way. We pray for that. That's you, and you're still here. Pray for that kind of supernatural healing to be released in this room. And we recognize that could be that you want to do some things physically, and may it be so. May you move in supernatural power to heal people physically, but it may be that you want to do that emotionally, mentally, that you want to bring supernatural healing in a way that would help us to be able to forgive or to receive forgiveness. We want to receive what you paid for, Jesus. When you died on the cross for us, we want to receive it all. You are in this place. Thank you for that. So we're going to worship you for who you are and what you've done. And even as we do, even as we're bringing our hearts up to you and whatever way we're doing that, would you keep releasing supernatural healing? Would you keep releasing the peace that only you can give? Would you just fill us up with it? Again, wash over us with it as we're worshiping you. Fill us with it as we're worshiping you. You are real and you are here and we love you. And thank you that you loved us first. Thank you that you loved us first. We're going to just rest in your love right now.